إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We'll continue tonight in a part two from the lecture we started a couple of weeks ago. في الحث على طلب العلم وبيان فضل العلماء. This is a part two of this lecture series about the importance of seeking knowledge, importance of seeking knowledge, and the virtue of the scholars of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Walid Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات. The last point I read to you is when the Shaykh, he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi al-din." If Allah wants good for a person, Allah will grant them the correct understanding and the sound understanding of the religion. And the Shaykh, he gave us some advice after some explanation. He says that we should be serious about seeking knowledge. And while seeking knowledge, you pay close attention in the class. If you are in a class, if you are in a circle of knowledge, while you're listening to a CD or a class or reading a book, you pay close attention so that you will observe what you are reading while you're listening, and so that you have and you acquire, therefore, not only you memorizing something, you retaining knowledge, but also with sound understanding. Not just retaining knowledge, but also with what is more important is to retain knowledge with sound understanding. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله أقسام الفقه. قال والفقه في اصطلاح أهل العلم انقسم إلى قسمين. We continue tonight. The Shaykh حفظه الله says فقه in the terminology of the scholars and the people of knowledge is of two types or two categories. القسم الأول يسمى بالفقه الأكبر. The first category of fiqh, the ulama, they call it الفقه الأكبر, the greater fiqh. The greater fiqh. What is this greater fiqh? وهو معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى بأسمائه وصفاته وما يجب له من العبادة والإخلاص وما ينزه عنه سبحانه وتعالى من العيوب والنقائص. The greater fiqh that ulama they mention consists of having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having knowledge about Allah by learning and getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by learning His names and His attributes. And alhamdulillah, now we're having a class on Tuesday night, alhamdulillah, في عقيدة السلف, the explanation of عقيدة السلف الإمام الصابوني by our noble Shaykh العلامة الدكتور ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله. And we are learning in that class on Tuesday night, alhamdulillah, in the class of عقيدة, that which we need to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as related to His names and attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a part of having fiqh. So we have to keep in mind that, alhamdulillah, that yes, is a class of aqeedah which enable us to increase in fiqh and in sound understanding as related to this very important matter, which is knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by knowing His names and attributes. Likewise, included in the greater fiqh, al-fiqh al-akbar, knowing what's obligatory upon us to do as related to the acts of worship. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for a reason. We're not created in vain. We're not created for no purpose. We are created for a purpose. Ibadatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this ibadah, from it that which is obligatory upon us. It's not up to us, whatever we do it, we don't do it. No, some of the acts of worship are obligatory. There is other acts of worship that are optional, supererogatory acts of worship, whether in salat, or whether in hajj, or fasting, or charity, or but there is obligations. So we need to know that, so that we can perform those acts of worship for Allah. Sincerely for Him, with ikhlas, very important, because ikhlas, as we all know, is one of the conditions, as the ulama they mentioned, for the acceptance of the deeds. If a person is not sincere in his actions, doesn't matter, those actions will not be accepted. The ulama they said, even if that person's action is in accordance to the sunnah, but no sincerity, it's no benefit for that person. The same way, if a person is sincere, but they're not following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that action is no good, is not a righteous action. Likewise, included in the greater fiqh is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too exalted subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's far above certain attributes that the ignorance attribute to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all deficiencies and defects and faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all faults and deficiencies. So this is the greater fiqh, al-fiqh al-akbar. So once again, a summary, it consists of having knowledge of Allah by knowing Him through His names and attributes and devoting all actions of worship sincerely for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by exalting Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from all deficiencies and all faults. والقسم الثاني هو الفقه في أحكام العبادات. القسم الثاني, the second category of fiqh, هو الفقه في أحكام العبادات والمعاملات والجنايات والأنكحة وغير ذلك. This category of fiqh deals with the rulings of actions of worship. Under this category, you will find the different rulings pertaining to actions of worship, such as tahara, salat, zakat, fasting, hajj, umrah, also mu'amalat, transactions, dealing with one another, buying, selling, borrowing, and the like, wal-jinayat, likewise, how to settle disputes between the people, wal-ankiha, marriage and divorce and the like. قال وهذا يعتبر مكملا للقسم الأول وتابعا له. But keep in mind, this category of fiqh, he completes the first one and he branches off it. That this, and therefore also the ulama, they mentioned that this second type of, and this second category of fiqh depend on the first one. Because the first one is the fiqh of aqidah, of belief. There is no way, if a person have issues in aqidah, the aqidah of that person sound is not sound, and mixing it with shirk, in that person's actions will not be of any benefit for that person. For this reason, you find that the ulama, they says, it is incumbent upon the da'i who's calling the people, is incumbent upon any da'i to make sure that to correct the belief of the people, the aqidah of the people. That's more important than anything else. And that's what the prophets and messengers began with. When they call their people, the first thing they call them to is to the aqidah, making sure that their aqidah is sound. قال تعالى ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت دعوة إلى التوحيد ونهي عن الشرك. We have sent in Surah An-Nahl, we have sent amongst every nation a messenger saying to his people, worship Allah alone and avoid the taghuts. See, they called them to tawheed and they warned them against shirk. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to give da'wah and to call the people, 13 years in Mecca tawheed, calling them to tawheed and warn them against shirk. Fasting, jihad, and all that, and many prohibitions, they were legislated when he moved to Medina. Likewise, when he sent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, and he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ كِتَابٍ. You are dealing, you're going to be dealing with the people of the book. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلُ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ. Let's be the first one you call them to, and you وَحِّدُ اللَّهِ, to worship none but Allah, to establish the true meaning of لا إله إلا الله, that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Tawheed. Call them to Tawheed. They don't say, oh, well, can you worship Allah, but then they associate partners with him. No, only Allah. You do not, you say you worship Allah, you do not associate partners with him. قال فإنهم أطاعوك لذلك. Then he said to him, if they obey you, if they accept the tawheed and act upon it, inform them that Allah has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in a day and a night, to the end of the hadith. هذا هو الأصل, the aqidah. And we should take good care of it in ourselves. Alhamdulillah, once again, we have materials now. We got books of aqidah, alhamdulillah. Those who don't speak Arabic, they are translated into many languages. All you have to do is to find sound translation, knowing who translated, ask a question about that person. Not just because it's translated to your language, you got big. No, sometimes you will find the translator, he may have issues in aqidah himself. And while translating the book, he may be putting what he thinks is right. So you have to see that translator, the ulama, they says he has to be upon the aqidah of the salaf himself. And also he has to have knowledge of both languages and have correct understanding. But unfortunately, you'll find people just competing one another, who's going to put the book out there first? Who's going to put the book out there so they can get more money? وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And therefore you'll find mistakes right and left. As Allah as-salamu al-afiyah. But we have to do our homework. When a book comes out or somebody tells you, oh, this book is good in English, French, I don't know what language is, ask who translated, where did it come from? Who are these people? Are they trustworthy? Are they known to the ulama or not? ثم قال الشيخ أقسام العلم الواجب أقسام العلم الواجب. Now he mentioned there is two categories when it comes to learning, to knowledge. So this lecture is about knowledge, is about learning, acquiring knowledge, beneficial knowledge of the deen of Allah. قال من العلم ما هو واجب وجوبا عينيا على كل مسلم أن يعرفه ولا يعذر أحد بجهله. Of course, knowledge, to learn the ilm, as some of the ulama they mention, بحرٌ لا ساحل له, is an ocean with no borders. Knowledge. Nobody can say, look, I got all the, I finished the knowledge. Unless if they are upon the Mubtadi'ah and the Sufiyyah. The Sufis, they have a programs. You study 3 years, you're an alim one. You study 4 years, you're an alim two. You study 5 years, you're Mawlana one. A'udhu billah, you're Mawlana, alim. Naam, they call it the alim program. You finish this, naam, Sufis. They say if they finish this 4 years, he's an alim. That's it. And they call them, and the juhal, they call them, he's an alim. He's an alim just because he got a certificate. Naam. So from this knowledge, ya akhwan, it is that which is obligatory upon every person. Every individual, every Muslim to have knowledge of. No one is excused. If a person stay ignorant about this knowledge, this category of knowledge, no one is exempt. No one is excused. It is an obligation. Of course, now you want to say, what is this knowledge? What is this knowledge that is obligatory upon every Muslim? Not obligatory upon the men and the women they exempt. No. Men and women. It's not obligatory only on the father, but the children, it's okay. No. It's obligatory upon every Muslim, Arab or non-Arab, rich or poor, male or female, black or white, from the east or the west, the south or north. It's obligatory upon every Muslim, and we're included now. It's obligatory, and that's the purpose of these lectures. For us to pay attention. Now, this knowledge that the Sheikh is going to mention, this type of knowledge, it is obligatory upon all of us to have knowledge of. What is it? وَهُوَ مَعْرِفَةُ مَا لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ دِينُ الْعَبْدِ إِلَّا بِهِ. It is that knowledge, that amount of knowledge, that the religion of his servant cannot be sound and straight without it. Subhanallah. Anything that your religion cannot be sound without it, that is obligatory upon you to learn. من أحكام عقيدته. And this applies in the aqidah. You have to learn what make your aqidah sound. وأحكام صلاته. We have to learn, and it is an obligation, what make our prayer sound. Not just come and stand in the row with the people. If they go for ruku', we go for ruku'. They say Allahu Akbar, we say Allahu Akbar. Salaam alaykum alaykum salam. We don't even know if the salat is sound or is not sound. Some people, they even say, look man, if the imam, we just follow on the imam. If his salat is sound, our salat is sound. Then you ask him the same thing. What if his salat is not sound? Oh, Allah ghafur rahim. They have an answer for everything. They say, oh, Allah is forgiven, you know. Allah forgive us. instead to say, yeah, you're right, now we can do that. So it's very important to learn what make my salat sound. What is the minimum knowledge I should know and I should have in my salat that make my salat sound? Likewise, the zakats. Likewise, you may not know all the details about the zakat, but if you have some money or properties, you want to know at least the minimum knowledge to understand the zakat. Likewise, fasting. There is so many fatwa on fasting. That's why we ask the ulama, and that's why we turn to their books. But we should know the minimum knowledge about fasting that make our fasting sound. Likewise, Hajj. So many fatwa on Hajj. We don't have to know everything, but we are obliged, every one of us, to learn what make your Hajj sound. قال فهذا القسم من العلم أو هذا القدر من العلم واجب على كل مسلم أن يعرفه معرفة تامة ولا يعذر أحد بجهله لأنه لا يمكن أن يستقيم دين الإنسان إلا به. So the Sheikh says this type of knowledge, and then he said, or we should say, this amount of knowledge, al-qadr, this amount of knowledge is obligatory upon every Muslim, male or female, to have knowledge of. Obligatory upon them to acquire. Thoroughly, not just hear about it here and there. No, you have to make it a priority. Be serious, I got to have this down. I got to know it in detail, this obligatory knowledge. Ma'rifatan tam. Not just hear about it, or you, or some of us, oh, book on Aqidah, Salat. Oh, I have the book, Sheikh Al-Albani. Oh, yeah. Pillars of a Salat. I have the book. Okay, tell us how many pillars. Don't know. Oh, let me go to the trunk and look at the book. Go to the trunk. What if something you need to know in Salat? What if you made a mistake or the Imam make a mistake and you don't know if it's a pillar or if it's an obligatory element, or you're going to go, let me go to the trunk? Now you need to have it with you. This is knowledge that is not just in the book. This knowledge has to be in your heart. Because you need it to apply. It says, لا يُعْذَرُ أَحَدٌ بِجَهْلِهِ. No one is exempt to stay ignorant when it comes to this first type of knowledge. Once again, he says, because your religion cannot be upright without this amount of knowledge. كذلك يقول كيف يعرف ربه كيف يعرف صلاته كيف يعرف زكاته وصيامه وحجه. Having knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowledge about the salat, the zakat, the fasting, the hajj. قال فلا يعذر أحد من ذكر أو أنثى حر أو عبد بالجهل بهذا النوع من العلم. Says no one is exempt. Every Muslim, male or female, free or slave, they should acquire this knowledge, this type of knowledge that is obligatory upon everyone. قال ولهذا يقول شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله اعلم أن رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل والعمل بهن. So for this reason you find in his book, The Thalathat al-Usul, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his book, you should acquire knowledge of that you should know that it is obligatory upon us to acquire, to learn four matters and to act upon them. I was smiling when I mentioned Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. As you know, yesterday in a khutbah, we were talking about the same topic, pretty much knowledge. And I quote two statements of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. But we quote different other mashayikh, remember? Different other mashayikh and ayat. A brother told me that a person who attended the khutbah, He said to him, and I'm quoting the statement of the person, he said to him, your sheikh is Wahhabi and he's not Muslim. A'udhu billah. His sheikh, meaning he means the person who gives the khutbah, myself. He said to him, your sheikh is Wahhabi and he's not Muslim. A'udhu billah. The brother, he said to him, ya akhi, what do you mean? What are you saying, Wahhabi? He's not Muslim. He said, how can I explain to you? He said, please, because this is very serious. He said to him, the man said to him, the Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah will split into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one, and the Wahhabis are one of those 72 sects. Then the brother, mashallah, he has hikmah, and he was talking to him nicely as he narrated to me. I don't know the person. But the brother, he was telling me, like I told him, wait a minute, how you know that the Wahhabis are from the 72? The Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. And he said to him, obviously, you don't know this man, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And that's the same case, Yaquan. A lot of people lie on this man, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. And some just ignorant, some they just don't know. They just follow other people. And you'd be amazed that some of the people, they may even be people of knowledge. Like, they mentioned that in India was this sheikh of hadith. But then he used to always, they say, mention, they used to say bad things about Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. One student, he was like, subhanAllah, this sheikh, why he talk about Muhammad Abdul Wahhab? SubhanAllah, obviously, maybe he don't know him. Maybe he never read his books. So he's like, he got to be this one. And I'm going to test this sheikh with good adab and good manners. That student, he has a Kitab al-Tawheed with him. He took Kitab al-Tawheed, and he take off the covers. And any page that mentioned the sheikh name, Muhammad Abdul Wahhab. And he went to that sheikh and said to him, ya sheikh, jazakallah khair. You know, we're students and we always have to ask advice from you. Just this book here, before I even read it or something, you know, would you check it for me? See if this book, is it okay? Is it... You think we can benefit from a book like this? You know, mashallah. He said, okay, I will do that. They said, next day, the sheikh said, where is this student who gave me this book? He says, me. He says, ya akhi, this is a great book. This book is some very beneficial book. This book should be taught in every masjid, in every school, in every institute, in every home. SubhanAllah, you see? Who wrote this book? He says, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. He says, no. Ta'asur. He says, yes. Here's the cover. Here's this. But Allah wants good for the sheikh. The sheikh says, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. SubhanAllah. We mentioned a lot of things about this sheikh. And he began to make... He's not the only one. There is so many other examples. People of knowledge who used to warn against this sheikh or this. But then, alhamdulillah, when the truth become clear to them, they praise the sheikh in poetry. Some of them, they make a poetry against him, warn against him. But then after, alhamdulillah, they know the truth, they retract everything, they took back everything, and they apologize. People, they say a lot of things about Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he came and changed the religion of the people. No, he didn't change nothing. He just called the people to Tawheed. In his time, people are upon shirk and bid'ah, innovations. Allah gave him tawfiq. And he called the people to tawheed, to sunnah, upon the way of the sahaba. Of course, Ahlul Bid'ah, they don't like that. This man now is mixing up everything for them. Because Ahlul Bid'ah, they people to stay ignorant is good for them. So they can use them. Do this, you go do this. You do this, you come here, sit, stand up. Two, go over there. Six, stay here. No, I'll tell you when. That's what they do. Instead to teach them the deen of Allah and they can do things that are pleasing to Allah. So what they start, they have no other way. They cannot. They cannot refute this man by knowledge and by proofs. They can't. His books are that's why you find the ulama, they mention, subhanAllah, anybody who talk about the da'wah of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab in a bad way, he is one of two people. Whether he's ignorant, he don't even know this man and never read his books, he just follow what people are saying, not reading what others are saying, or yes, he know this man, he know his da'wah of Tawheed and the Sunnah, he read his book, but he hate the Sunnah and Tawheed. And that's why he took him as an enemy. That's it. Could be one of two. نسأل الله السلام والعافية. But for a person to make that statement, لا إله إلا الله. So Allah السلام والعافية. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab was a great sheikh. He called to Tawheed, to the Sunnah, and his books are alhamdulillah available. They said he's a takfiri. They said he's this, he's that. He called to shirk. The ulama, they said, okay, show us. Here's his books. We have so many of his books. Show us where these accusations, these false allegations, where are they in his book? Okay. We're not saying, look, we're defending him because he's from this country or the other. We read his books. But if you know something, you have other books, show us. Here is his book, Talatat Usul. Where he said, here is Qawa'id Arba, here is Kitab al-Tawheed, Kashf al-Shubuhat, Masail al-Jahiliyyah, Qawa'id Arba, Usul al-Sitt. Show us where this man said what you are attributing to him. Al-Jahl. If anybody, you got to keep this in mind. Whenever you're going to be upon the Haqq, and you practice it and call, you're gonna have enemies. You're not gonna have a red carpet in front of you with roses. Now you're gonna walk on some rough surface. People are gonna throw you with tomatoes, if not with thorn. But you are on the path of the Sunnah. Ayna barakallahu fikum. Tayyib. Here this great Imam, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, in his book Talatat Usul, he says, you should know, or actually he said it is obligatory upon every Muslim, or upon us all actually, he says, to learn these four matters and to act upon them. Al-Ula al-Ilm, wa huwa ma'rifatullah, wa ma'rifatu din al-Islam, wa ma'rifatu nabiyihi bil-adilla. Ma'rifatullah, wa ma'rifatu nabiyihi, wa ma'rifatu din al-Islam bil-adilla. The first matter of these four matters is knowledge. You have to acquire knowledge. Can't stay ignorant. Ignorance is, subhanAllah, is a bad characteristic. And what about being ignorant in the deen of Allah? It's worse. It's bad when a person don't know anything about a car he drives or about anything and they just like, oh, okay, yeah. Take advantage of them. They may tell him, look, the whole engine is shut down and what we're going to make, we're going to get you another one. Nice. They may take the good engine and put a bad one in there and charge them $1,500. Simply don't know, have no clue. No clue. But somebody who has at least the basics says, hey, listen, man, the engine, ain't nothing wrong with the engine. It sounds good. What's wrong in the engine? Which one? Tell me, what's wrong? So now that mechanic who playing games, he will know this man, he knows. Oh, I mix you up with the other Toyota. No, that's not your car. The other car. Yeah, right. But those who don't know, they tell him, look, you drive this car in the engine highway, it's on you, man. I'm getting you. And they scare them and to get the money. Some people don't fear Allah. Some people don't know Allah. Is no such thing on their minds. Likewise, Muslims have nothing, not even the minimum knowledge, not even the basics. So okay, when a
when a mubtadi come their way, he just make it like a rapid and a nice way, and they take it. Alhamdulillah, mazallah, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah for bid'ah. No. Now, al-ula al-ilm, the first of these four matters is to have knowledge, to seek knowledge. Wal-ilmu bit-tahallum, knowledge doesn't come to you. It doesn't come in a barrel like your vitamins, you're going to take one every morning. I got some knowledge this morning. Now you have to work, you got to put some efforts. You got to put some efforts. Knowledge. Of who? Knowledge of Allah, knowledge of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and knowledge of Islam with adilla, with sound proofs. الثانية العمل به. The second of the four matters is acting upon the knowledge, because knowledge mandates actions. That's why we learn, so we can put it to practice in our lives. We don't just learn and we don't do anything about it. That's blameworthy. There's so many texts, the Shaykh Idin mentioned them, and we're going to leave it that way, but this is not good for a person to just acquire knowledge and don't act upon it. So we have to correct this. We shouldn't just be concerned of how much I know, so I can't talk about it. Oh, this is... No. Whenever, at least say to yourself, look, I have to seek knowledge, but I, in the same way, I got to put it to practice. Some people, subhanAllah, the ulama, they mentioned, and the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he mentioned this shubha. There is a shubha of the shaitan and the shayateen. Some people, they know, they're like, look, they are not seeking knowledge. Why, ya akhi, you're not seeking knowledge? He says, look, man, because I know it. They know, they says, because they know whatever they learn, they have to act upon it. But they are not really now to act upon it. They know because they have a plan. They steal into the dunya. They said they're not ready to act upon knowledge. So what to do? Attend no classes, read no books, listen to nothing. They say why? They says because this way it's okay. Because if you learn, you have to act upon it. I'm not ready. The ulama, they said this is even worse. You stay ignorant. No.
It's because the kuffar have a saying, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
The kuffar
says ignorance is a bliss.
Nah.
I would say to them, it is from Iblis. It's a bliss. It's got to be from Iblis. That's what the shaitan got them to do that. Stay ignorant. Yeah, subhanAllah. Allah musta'an. That's what they say, yeah? Well, how would they say that?
If you don't know, they can't hold you into account for it. To them, ignorance is bliss. That's how they...
Mashallah. Allahu Akbar. Al-amal bil-ilm. Ikhwan. Of course, it's not easy. Doing or acting, it requires movements. It requires preparations. And we have to be doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to be motivated. And we have to find the ways to be motivated. Look at the people. You find a person, difficult for them to attend the class. In the house of Allah, look how many rewards. The angel encircle us. A lot of things is involved. Rahmah of Allah. Forgiveness, and if that class is between two prayers, we're considered in the prayer waiting for the next one. Still, some people, it's difficult for them. They run, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know, they just go out, drink a coffee, go to here, and before you know it, it's time for Isha. Now they come to pray Isha. It's different if somebody go back to work, he attend to his mother, his wife is sick, children, he's taking care of something. La bas. But just to leave after Salat, and there is a class of Aqidah, of Tawheed, of Fiqh, of Arabic, of Tafsir, and he's just run out. Where did he go when he has nothing important to do? Just go drive and get a coffee and come back. And that same person, maybe, they spend hours, not just 50 minutes, hours watching a game. See how the shaitan got him? Cannot sit for 50 minutes in a class that will help us. But he's willing, that same person, willing to sit in front of the TV screen for hours. If that game go to extra time, oh, I get better. I cannot spend a couple minutes in the masjid. Yes, subhanAllah. Ikhwan, it's not easy. That's why the ulama, they says, لا ينال العلم براحة الجسد. No one will learn and their way and in a comfortable way. Now you have to give. You have to work hard. You got to go through hardship. Hayna and barakallahu fikum. It's not just going to happen. You got to make some efforts. And we have to start somewhere. Of course, the best way to acquire knowledge is from the ulama, from the great scholars. If they are not in your area, find a way. If you can, if you're able, go to them, wherever they are. And that's what the ulama do. When you look, when you read the biography of the ulama, you will find them, they traveled here, to there, to acquire knowledge. But for those of us at least who cannot do this, at least let us have the intention to do it. At least it should cross your mind every time, every moment. SubhanAllah, how am I going to go there? Constantly thinking about how can I get to sit with Sheikh Fawzan now? How am I going to sit with Sheikh Rabi'a, Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Luhaydan, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin? InshaAllah, how can I sit with this? If you cannot go there, because now in our times it's different than before, now you're going to have paperwork, you're going to have iqama, your residency, and on top of that you have to be able to take care of yourself. So it's difficult. It's not just packing your stuff now, I'm going to sit with Sheikh Fawzan. Right here in the airport, in DC or New York, they says visa. No visa. Go and seek knowledge. Students of knowledge. They're like students of knowledge. Listen, man. Visa. What is a visa? No visa. I'm going to Sheikh Fawzan. They're like, listen, man. Go get a visa. You can't go. You see how it is? So you cannot do that? MashaAllah. Learn from his books. And keep making dua. Asking Allah to make it easy for you. If you can. But if you can't, alhamdulillah, at least start somewhere. Learn from the books. The Sheikh's books are coming to us in America, alhamdulillah. He has his classes. Their classes, the ulama, they are online. You just have to be careful who you listen to. You gotta find the ulama. Before you click, you got to think and ask. Ayna an barakallahu fikum. Wa thalith ad-da'wah ilayh. The third of the matters, you call to that. If you have qualifications, you learn, you act upon it, disseminate it. وَالرَّابِعَ الصَّبْرُ عَلَى الْأَذَذِي. The fourth matter, you have to have patience. While learning, it requires patience. Acting upon the knowledge requires patience. Dealing with the people and calling them to what you know, commanding them or forbidding them from others, requires patience. All of that. قال والدليل على ذلك قوله تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الشيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى, when he mentioned these four categories, he says these four categories are found in one surah, surah al-Asr. He says that these four categories are mentioned in this surah, Surah Al-Asr. by al-asr, which is time, by the time, verily man in, is in loss. Just by hearing this, man is in loss. We from men. Allah is telling me and you we're in loss. And who wants to lose? Nobody. You don't want to lose your money, you don't want to lose your mind, you don't want to lose your business, you don't want to lose your car. You don't even lose a window or tire from your car, not the whole car. But Allah says they are in a state of loss. But Allah make exception, alhamdulillah. Except those who believe and do righteous deeds and recommend one another to the truth. Amen.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
جزاك الله خير. أحسنت. بارك الله فيك. نعم. قال هذه هي المسألة الأولى الإيمان. Says look. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all man is in loss. Except the one who fulfilled four things. Number one, al-Iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. These are why these people are making the exception. They are not from the losers. Once again, have nothing to do who they are, what country they are from. This is the first thing. Iman. والإيمان أساسه العلم. And Iman, a person cannot have sound Iman without knowledge. That's the foundation. You gotta have knowledge. وهو معرفة الحق واعتقاده. What is this knowledge? You have to learn the truth. And believe it to be the truth. Not just learn it. You find some kuffar, they know. The hypocrites in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they know the truth. They believe it to be the truth. They know it. But they believe. But this is very important. You have to learn the truth and to believe in it to be the truth. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ in the ayah. And they do righteous deeds. هذه هي المسألة الثانية. This is the second matter that the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab رحمه الله تعالى says it is obligatory upon every Muslim male and female to have knowledge of. It is mentioned in this surah, Surah Al-Asr. Surah صغيرة يحفظها الكبير والصغير. Our children, they memorize this surah. You memorize Surah Al-Asr? Can you say it to us? Yes. Yes, you know it, Surah Al-Asr? Say it. Speak up. Wal-Asr? Ahsant. See, a young brother, a child, he knows it. A surah that is memorized by the little ones and the grown-ups. But look what it contains. Man is in loss except, first of all, Iman. Iman requires knowledge. Can't just, because when it comes to the Iman, the i'tiqad, the aqidah, the belief, it's not taken from the customs of the people. It's not taken from the traditions, what your people are upon, what the majority are upon. No, it is taken from its proper sources. The book of Allah and sound sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The aqidah is not taken from what the people are upon. That's why some Muslims, they go wrong. They just grow up and follow whatever their tribe is upon. Whatever they find their family and forefathers are upon, they don't ask. They're like, wait a minute, is this what Allah tells us? Because this deen is complete. If you guys tell us this is from the deen of Allah, did Allah said it? If they did is, what are the answers? We don't know. So okay, we'll learn first. You don't know? You don't just like tell me, you don't act upon and believe in something, you don't know if it's from Allah or not. No, learn first. If they say yes, this is from the deen of Allah, prove it. Hatu burhanakum kuntum sadiqeen. Because some people, they say, yes, it is from the deen of Allah. Okay, find it. The sheikh so-and-so said. That's the deen of Allah now? Sheikh so-and-so said? The majority doing it. This is what Allah tells us in the Quran? If the majority are upon it, go ahead and do it? No. Allah says, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء. Follow that which was revealed to you from your Lord. It's very important for us, Ikhwan. We pay attention to these points. Allah is saying, man is in loss. And like I said, no one wants to be a loser. We don't even want to lose $20. Now he said, man is a loser, except, alhamdulillah, there is exception. Those who have iman. And iman is taken from the book of Allah and from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. It's not taken from manamat, from dreams. Is not taken from what the majority of the people are upon and from the customs and the traditions of the people. No, it is taken from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. That's why these people make the exception, because they do righteous deeds. And the ulama, they mentioned for the deeds to be righteous deeds, has to fulfill two conditions. It has to be done in accordance to what Allah has legislated, and it has to be performed sincerely for Allah. That's what is a sincere, what is a righteous action. Now, if a person is asking a dead in the grave, oh, so and so, Hussein or Badawi or Zainab, help me out, cure my mother, is that a righteous action? That person, keep in mind, I forget a detail, crying. Is it a righteous action? I forget another detail. He slaughtered a cow right there for that person. Huh? That make it worse. That's not a righteous action. If a person praying and crying in the crowd, is that a righteous action? Huh? We don't know. If it is a righteous action, it has to be performed for Allah. If that person is crying, because we don't know the intention, that's only for Allah to know. If that person crying out of show off in front of the people, that person should know that his action is not a righteous action. But we cannot go to him and tell, listen, man, your action is not a righteous action. Why? Because you have no ikhlas. How did you know? I know you. And you look like those people. A'udhu billah. We do not get there. We don't get into the intentions of the people. But if we see someone practicing something that is not from the deen of Allah, yes, we can tell them, but nice way. Akhi, jazakallah khair. Look, you just go and like, akhi, talk to the people, say, jazakallah khair, waffaqakallahu lil khair. May Allah grant you success, ya akhi, in this life. Look at the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahab. He didn't just say, wajib upon you to do this. He says, I'lam rahimakallah. See, he made dua for you. You should know, may Allah have mercy on you. When a person makes dua for you, talk to you nicely, now you open your hearts and ears to him or to her. If a sister talking to another sister. This is how the action become righteous actions. They have to be performed sincerely for Allah. And they have to be performed in accordance to what Allah has legislated, subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالثَّالِثَ الْعَمَلُ بِالْعِلْمِ. The second matter, عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. They act upon knowledge. They don't just learn, but they act upon it. And also they are concerned not only for themselves, they are concerned for others as well. The Muslim should not just be concerned for himself, but the Muslim is concerned for others as well. You learn something, and you are in an environment that don't know it, provide the knowledge, yaakhi. That's good for you. Because if anybody acts upon that, mashallah, you get reward for that from Allah. And alhamdulillah, He wants good for the people. And khair will be spread through knowledge of the deen of Allah. True knowledge of the deen of Allah. Ignorance is a fatal disease. But when the people, that's why people look, they teach their children how to drive. It's not like wait until he's 16 or 18, here's a key, go get some milk. Go get some milk. The man never been behind the wheel. Go get some milk. No, they spend time. Don't we do that as parents? Spend time with them, come here, take them to get a permit, sit son before they get him behind the wheel. Says, look, there is a time for this, sit over here. This is a wheel. This is the clutch. There's no clutch, okay. This is the gas pedal. This is the brake pedal. This is, look, you gotta go slow. You gotta pay attention. These mirrors, they're not here for decoration, okay? And adornment. They everything here play, and we spend a lot of time with them. Because we want them to learn the right way. Because that knowledge we're giving them, if they apply it, inshallah, is gonna help them to stay on the road and don't get in accidents. And therefore, get themselves in trouble and maybe cause harm to others. But akhi, these children of ours also, they driving towards the hereafter. Isn't it this journey? That's why you tell them, look son, a stop sign, you have to stop. Let the other people pass. Red light, can't go. I know you're in a rush, you really want to make it there. Listen, the law is the law, brother. It's a green light. We didn't put it there. Same thing. You teach your children, there is some stops in the deen of Allah. We have to stop sometimes. Yes, we want to go and do it. You say, look, Allah said stop. If you tell him, man, look, you want to go, but you have to stop because the red light. Who did that? The city. Why, what if, father, what if we just keep going? You get a ticket, man. Oh, okay. You may go in jail. We teach our children. We give them examples. If Allah tells us don't listen to music, if Allah tells us don't lie, if Allah tells us don't cheat, if Allah tells us don't harm other people, if Allah tells us don't break people's properties, don't touch something that is not yours, don't disrespect the elders. When we teach them, because Allah said, stop there, don't cross this line. And then you tell them, because if you cross it, it's no good for us. It's a sin. Sins, they're not going to get us to the Jannah, son or daughter. Children, they know. Tawasi bil haq. Naam, we call others to the haq and to the truth. But we have to be from the people who are qualified. If the ulama, they said, if a person really wants good for the people, but he himself is not in that level to deliver that good, you can still do it in another way, by books. You don't even have to say a word, just give a book, give a CD, alhamdulillah, invite the people to the truth, and let them read the book. The book will explain it to them, inshallah ta'ala, in details. The CD of that alim, or that students of knowledge, will explain it to them, inshallah ta'ala, and you still contribute into that. That's another way to give da'wah. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This is very important, يا أخوان. هذه هي المسألة الرابعة وهي الصبر على الأذى الذي يلحق الإنسان بسبب قيامه بالأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر والدعوة إلى الله. The four matter is that we have to have patience. Some people, a lot of people, they give up. Before you know it, no patience. Because they think, look, they come in with the attitude, it's my way, on my terms. And then when they come and they find something else, they give up. No, you have to learn to adapt. Of course, you're coming with an idea, you don't know what to expect, and it turns out something else. At that moment, say, look, do I really need to be in this class? Yeah, I need to be in this class. Why? We need to have objectives. People, they go to work. And wallahi, they find themselves working with certain people they don't even want to be with in a bus. They don't even want to ride the bus with certain people, but they still go every day and pull up with all of that nonsense. Why? Why? Because they need the check. They need the money. You think if that person don't need the money, he's still going to go to that job?
No.
And deal with all of that nonsense? No. But as long as they need that paycheck to take care of their families, to pay the bills, provide food, they're going to go, look, you want to go to work? No, I want to go. But why are you still going? I got to, man. I got to. If I find a better place, subhanAllah. You got to be patient. And subhanAllah, when we learn the deen, look, you learn amongst people who love you, respect you, nobody making fun of you. Actually, people look at you and they smile. I've seen it, because see me, I see people. When somebody just come and sit next to the other, like this. Oh, brother is here, Allah Akbar. We're happy when we see people coming to learn. So what is our complaints? All we have to do is to really struggle. Al-Mujahada. You gotta know that what you're doing here, you have to do it. Nobody else can do it for you. And be patient, inshallah. And seek Allah's help. Ask Allah to make it easy for you. Like I said, those who cannot sit for 50 minutes or an hour like this, we have chairs. Chairs. You can sit against the wall. Labas. No problem with me, inshallah ta'ala. As I told you, me, alhamdulillah, I'm comfortable. They give me a nice chair. Alhamdulillah, jazakum Allah khairan. But if you cannot sit, right? Get a chair. Bring with you a little chair. Some other people, they bring something nice. No problem with us, as long but you get to say, I have to be here. Because I'm learning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira.